And I know you already said it's a good day, but I feel like some of you weren't ready for it or you were still talking to each other. So I feel like we need to do it again. Okay? One, two, three. It's a... There you go. That's what we needed to hear. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, this is the moment when you want to pull up... There it is. Pull up the Evangel app so that... There you go. You're flashing it back at me. Love it. And it has all the announcements that Pastor Pauline just gave you and also has the notes for today's message. If you want to follow along, then you're welcome to do that. And yeah, it's a good day today. We are in the middle of a series called What If Jesus Was a Quebecer? And we've been kind of having some fun with it. And some moments have been, you know, a little bit made us laugh. And other moments have made us go very quiet. But we've been kind of just saying we need to look at this world. And we need to look at this culture that we're in. And we're here in Quebec. And even if you're visiting today, you know, from somewhere else, well, you're here today. So we're going to help you understand the culture here today. But this is the culture where it would appear God has placed most of us for at least this moment in time. And in order for us to, we want to thoughtfully consider, how would Jesus behave if he was in this culture? How would he talk? How does Jesus call us as followers of him? How does he ask us to interact with people that are in this culture, in the province of Quebec, in which Montreal is? Because we have said over and over again that our purpose is to what? The first three rows got it. The rest of you are going, how do they know? It's on the screen. Okay? Our purpose is to meet Jesus. Help people meet Jesus. Because you know what? We have, now this is just so important. We have something to offer this world. This is a beautiful world that we live in that God has given us, but it is a broken world. And we have something to offer. We can offer a personal connection with a God who loves this beautiful, broken world. And we can offer people the opportunity to connect with Jesus, who gave himself for people who are broken and gave himself so that they could be healed and they could be saved and they could know God. And listen, I just want to say this because it's important, and I wanted to say it today in both first and second service. We often talk about people out there, but can I talk to you in here just for 1 minute? You are loved. You are deeply, deeply loved by the God who created the universe. You are deeply loved. No matter how broken you are, no matter what's in your past or what's in your present or what it is that you're dealing with, Jesus came to earth and he died for you. And he rose again for you because he loves you. Not just the person beside you, but you. And he has a purpose for you. He has a place for you. And Jesus' purpose is to help you help others to meet him. And I know that a bunch of you are going, yeah, we know this. You just need to get that in your heart today, that you are loved and you have purpose. But you know, we can't effectively carry Jesus. We can't help people meet Jesus if we don't know where those people are coming from. And if we don't know their culture, we don't know what offends them, or if we don't know what makes them laugh, or we don't know what motivates them, or we don't know what discourages them, if we don't know all of these things, then we struggle a lot more to effectively carry Jesus to them. And so that's why we're looking at Quebec culture and trying to figure out how our faith interacts with it so that we together as a church and each of us as individual followers of Jesus can help people meet Jesus. Good? Good. Okay. So we started with the series first, and then we did key number one, which was, it's going on the screen, and you're going to say it with me. Key number one was joie de vivre, right? And everybody liked that one. Woo, that was a good one. That's fun. Happiness, living in the moment, totally defines who Quebec is, a big part of Quebec and of Quebec culture. And then we said last week that key number two, which is going to go on the screen, was easygoing. They like consensus. We just want to get along with everybody and all that kind of thing. And today we're looking at key number three, which is a trait of Quebec culture, and it is non-committal. More talk than action. Okay, this is key number three in the book that we've been using, and I've told you all about that the last few weeks. This is key number three in Quebec culture. And so Quebecers, we said last week, they don't really like quarreling, and actually the reality is they're not big on adversity at all. They're not really big on adversity. And so one Quebecer comedian and columnist said, you know, we don't stand our ground under real pressure. When the going gets tough, we give in. Okay, that's Quebec culture. And then somebody else on a political survey, they were asked, you know, have you decided who it is you're going to vote for? And their literal, this is a true story, their actual response was, I'm not sure whether I'm still undecided. Okay, non-committal. They don't want to commit to anything, really. And if you take any survey of Quebecers, and if you offer Quebecers a choice in a survey, and their choices are, you know, mostly agree or mostly disagree or just more or less agree, they will always, almost always answer, just more or less agree. They're not going to land on this end or on this end. They're just going to kind of go down they like the middle ground. Quebecers prefer not to choose. And I was laughing because I was preparing this week and I was working on it. And then I looked in the Montreal Gazette. And the Montreal Gazette had this great headline. It was talking about the municipal election that's coming up for our mayors and all that. And the headline was, in Montreal elections, the real winner in this poll is what? Indecision, okay? 41% of the people in the poll said, well, we just haven't decided yet. And the guy who was taking the poll, who, by the way, same firm as wrote the book, the guy who's taking the poll, I don't know why there's only 41, there's such a high level of indecision. I was like, dude, read your own book. It's key number three in the Quebec code. Quebecers are non-committal. They don't like to make a decision. And so politically, if you ask Quebecers, you know, in general, are you right wing or are you left wing or are you center or undecided, 69% of Quebecers will just say, we're just right down the middle or I haven't decided yet. So it's only 31% of Quebecers that will even say whether they're right or left wing. And so they like to keep their options open. They prefer not to commit. And in almost any referendum that has ever been held in Quebec, the Quebecers vote no, but in a way that sort of leaves the door open, just in case. And the only time that has been different was in 1919, when there was a referendum that was done in Quebec, and it was about prohibition. And the question was, should sale of alcohol be allowed? And the answer, 79% of Quebecers said yes, because that's joie de vivre, okay? That's the only exception to the rule. And it's this historic character trait that Quebecers tend to have. And so even after the British conquest of this area in 1760s, the early French Quebec settlers were described as silent and passive. And one sociologist looks back in history and describes them and says they were spectators towards their own collective destiny. Spectators towards their own collective destiny, just watching to see where the world would take them. And then even in Quebec, when we talk about the revolution that happened a few decades ago, it's called the Quiet Revolution. It's not a big deal, but it's quiet. And so there's just this ability in Quebec, in this culture that we're in, this ability to sort of duck and weave and to never quite give a direct answer and there's this desire to avoid direct action. And it leads to a culture that portrays a sense of indifference and a sense of detachment. Just sort of, yeah, the world's over there and we're over here, which is very, very different from the rest of Canada. Quebecers are serial non-finishers, reluctant to engage fully, and quick to give up. Their ideas are noble, but their behavior is often less than persuasive. So they're big on words, big on talk, but not so big on action. Big on words and talk, not so big on action. More talk than action. So let's just see what this looks like. There's a whole bunch of examples, and I'm going to go through them just to flesh this out for you, okay? So number one, Quebecers claim to be the most religious in Canada, but they are the least practicing, okay? 88% of Quebecers will identify and say, yes, I am religious. 88% of them. 47% of them have never been to a religious service, okay? They claim to be the most religious, lots of talk, but the least practicing, not so big on action. Number two, Quebecers prioritize education. They say they prioritize education, but they have the highest dropout rates. So talk big about education, but the action is less. The dropout rate in Quebec is the highest in Canada. And there's a high dropout rate. University graduation rate is also lower than the rest of Canada, although we're in Montreal, which is its own little world in the middle of the province of Quebec. And so on the flip side of that, in Montreal, we're the largest university city in Canada. We have more university students than any other city in Canada. And by the way, in Quebec, there are more young immigrants with a university degree than in the rest of Canada. So there's kind of two sides of it, okay? And then there's another one of this, more talk than action. So Quebecers will say family comes first, but Quebec's marriage rates are the lowest in Canada, okay? So we say family comes first, but the actual action is the lowest marriage rates in Canada. So we have, here in Quebec, one of the highest rates of common law relationships in the world. We have one of the highest rates in the world of common law relationships. And 44% of all of the common law relationships in Canada are in Quebec, okay? And somebody would say, well, why? Why are Quebecers so against marriage? We don't know. There's a McGill professor who responded to it and said, well, we're just not sure. We don't know if it's a rejection against the Catholic Church or if it's a rejection of the government, you know, dictating whether you're married or not, or maybe it's because there's a stronger sense of feminism in Quebec, or maybe it's this objection to if you get married in Quebec, you know, there's a mandatory split of family property. Maybe they object to that. We don't know why there's such a pushback and such a reluctance to jump into marriage in Quebec. But the other side of that is the divorce rate in Quebec is also higher than in the rest of Canada. Okay, very pro-family, but Quebecers want to receive more promotions, but they're less productive. Okay, more talk. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the book says, okay? So Quebecers work less, earn less, and save less, and they have the shortest work week in Canada, okay? It's a great place to work. And Quebecers tend to see promotion as just a right, something that's owed to them, rather than a reward for hard work. And they don't want to talk about their finances. Thank you very much. Okay? More talk, big on the words, not so much on the actions. Quebecers are the most, in Canada, are the most worried about poverty, but they share the least. So Quebecers care, they say that they care more than the rest of Canada about people that are in poverty, but they give less than the rest of Canada. They donate less money and they donate less time. So in 2013, the median charity donation for all of Canada was $280 per person. In Quebec, $130, okay? Quebec is much lower in charitable giving and much lower in donating time. Only 21% of Quebecers say that they volunteer in their community or their church or whatever. Only 21% say that they volunteer in Quebec, whereas in the rest of Canada, 31%. Okay? Quebecers say they're happier. We said that in the first one. But they have a higher suicide rate. Quebec has had the highest suicide rate in Canada for a long time. Now it's dropping, it's getting better, but Quebec still has higher rates of stress and burnout and taking antidepressants to try to cope with life. Quebecers also have the best environmental rhetoric, but they're big polluters. Okay? Quebecers want everybody else to change their habits to fix the environment. And so Quebecers are much more likely to have a conversation about the environment and their concerns about the environment, but they are less likely than the rest of Canada to reduce energy or to conserve water or to even compost. They're less likely to even do anything. So it's just big on the talk, big on the words, not so much the actions. And more Quebecers own a car or a motorcycle than in the rest of Canada, okay? So good environmental rhetoric, big polluters. And then the last one is Quebecers are most likely to say they want to own their own company, but they take the fewest steps to achieve it. Okay. So they have this passion for entrepreneurship, and it's actually a big part of Quebec, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But they're imaginative, and they're creative, and they're enthusiastic, but just a bit lacking in perseverance. So you go, well, what is it that Quebec wants? What does Quebec want? You ready? Ready? What does Quebec want? They don't know. They don't know what they want. They know what they don't want, and they know who they don't want to be, but they're just this people of the extreme middle. They don't want to make a choice, big on words, and they prefer to stay away from action. So, what if Jesus was a Quebecer? How would Jesus interact with this character trait? How would he ask his followers to behave? And where would we find common ground with this character trait, this non-committal, more talk than action character trait? How do we do that? What would Jesus do? So here's the thing. I can't find a Jesus who didn't commit, or who didn't invite others to commit. I can't find it. I can't find a Jesus, you know, who talked a big game without living it out. When I look through scripture, I can't find a Jesus who was big on words but low on action. And I can't find a Jesus who said, you know, if it's too hard to decide, don't worry about it. Don't make a choice. Just disengage. No worries. I can't find a Jesus who said that. I see in scripture a Jesus who says things like, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. I see a Jesus who says things like, leave your fishing nets behind, leave what's valuable to you behind, and follow me. I see a Jesus who says things like in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. That's pretty straight up, eh? That's pretty all-in, no-nonsense commitment. I mean, when I look in Scripture, I see a Jesus who reached out to everyone and opened his arms wide to everyone and went the extra mile to say to anyone and everyone, you are absolutely welcome. And eventually, he says to everyone, eventually, at some point, you need to choose. You need to make a decision. Follow me. And for those that do choose and those that do decide and make the choice to follow Jesus, well, it's all in. It's full-on commitment. No turning back. It's everything. And that's where we run into problems sometimes. Even right here in the church, this whole non-committal character trait, more talk than action. Can I just tell you, it's not just Quebec out there. Okay, turn to the person beside you and go, it's about to get uncomfortable. Just go ahead. Misery loves company. We might as well do this together. It's about to get uncomfortable, okay? In the first week of this series, we saw this video clip with Andy Crouch, and he talked about how churches can react to culture. And he said, sometimes we react to it by criticizing or consuming culture. And he suggested that we need to be proactive by creating where there are gaps or cultivating something that is already good. And can I just say that it's easy in this world for the church, even this one, to tend towards consuming this character trait of being more talk than action. And what I mean by that is absorbing it so thoroughly that there's no difference between us and the rest of culture. It's easy for the church to be non-committal, big on words, not so much actions. Sometimes followers of Jesus are more talk than action. And it shows up in the oddest ways. Let me just share some information with you, okay? It's for the person beside you, not for you, okay? We have, for example, one annual members meeting every year. Just one. One meeting where we ask the members of our church to come. And we had one last Sunday, and it was great, by the way. And last Sunday, 31% of our voting members came, which means 69% of our members didn't, for whatever reason. And can I just pause here and say I'm very thankful to whatever pastor or lead team in the past put in the Constitution that we only have to have 20% for a quorum, because otherwise we would never get any work done, okay? If we had to have 50%, we would be in big trouble. Last April, we did a snapshot survey right here in the sanctuary, and some of you were here for that. And anybody that was here that day, we asked them to fill in this survey. It just becomes a snapshot or a picture of what was happening in our congregation that day. So judging by those numbers, and there's more of them, by the way, in our annual reports if you want to see them, but it said that 32% of people who come on Sunday morning give regularly. Well, that's good. Yes. It means 68% of the people who come on Sunday morning don't give regularly. You give sometimes or not at all. I'll just keep going. And then according to that snapshot survey, it said that 15% of you have a volunteer role. You help to serve at Evangel, which suggests, anybody want to do the math? 85% don't. And can I just say, our volunteers here are amazing, amazing. And I thank God for them. I'm so grateful for them. But you just, yeah, go ahead. Thanks. They're awesome. But some of them are on every single Sunday. And sometimes our kids program is running on a skeleton crew. And sometimes our worship team is as well. And let me just throw out one more thing. You know, we talk about prayer meetings and worship nights, and I'm pretty sure that if I asked you to raise your hand, most hands would go up and say, yes, we believe in prayer. But boy, I'll tell you, it's tough going getting anybody to come to a prayer meeting. I can't believe she said that right out loud. And it doesn't matter when we schedule it. It doesn't matter if I schedule it morning or night or afternoon. It's a little tough to get people to come, and I'm awfully grateful to those of you that do come. I know there's reasons. I get it. There's valid reasons. There's life. And I just want you to know I don't do guilt trips because they're exhausting and they're not effective anyway. But sometimes patterns show up that are a little bit difficult to ignore. And me being me, when I see a pattern, I kind of blurt it out and feel like I should maybe let you know. Some of us are more talk than action. We talk commitment, but we don't walk it out. Some of us worship and pray in here on Sunday morning, and we're joyful and we're loving and we're godly. And then we walk out of here and we yell at a bus driver or somebody that's driving too slow or is in our way on the way home from church. Some of us pray for the poor in here and pray that God will help them. And then we walk out and we don't even make eye contact with the people that are asking for help in Cabot Square or on the sidewalk. And some of us give when the cause really grabs our heart and it's presented well. Instead of living a lifestyle of just radical generosity all the time. I liked it better when she was preaching about joie de vivre. Listen, take a deep breath. That's the worst part, okay? Here's the good news. The good news is this whole more talk than action thing is not new. And the good news of this whole more talk than action is not just Quebec. this is kind of a thing that tends to go through the church and tends to go often through the world. It's fairly frequent. And so the good news is that this isn't the first time that a church, you know, has maybe experienced this or needed to hear about it. And so that means it's actually addressed pretty clearly in Scripture. And so James, the Apostle James, he wrote a letter because he was dealing with some followers of Jesus who were a little bit more talk than action. And so he had some things to say. I'm just telling you straight up, I did not write it. James did, and he's pretty blunt, okay? So let me show you some of the things that James says, and maybe you want to just chime in on some keywords with me. James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but don't just listen. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it, okay? For example, so we're going to look at this talk and action, okay? For example, James chapter 2 says, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, that's the talk, if you favor some people over others? Oh, that's the action. Or in James chapter 1, 26, if you claim to be religious, that's the talk, but don't control your tongue. Ooh, that's the action. You're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. That's action. And refusing to let the world corrupt you. Also action. So, James 2, verse 17, you see, faith, or talking about faith, by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, that's action, it's dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, well, some people have faith and others have good deeds, kind of talking. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. That's action. And again, in James 2:22, Abraham's faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And again, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And one more time, if you are wise and understand God's ways, say it with me, prove it. James chapter 3, verse 13, if we could have it on the screen. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Say that with me, prove it. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Prove it. Commit. More action than words. So key number three of this Quebec thing of trying to understand the culture that we're in is says that Quebecers tend to be non-committal and they're more talk than action. Now here's the thing, I can only assume that that leads to a whole host of gaps in our culture because you can't keep on saying one thing and not following through on it without eventually starting to unravel or fall apart a little bit. Because if what we say is not what we do, and so we say things but we don't follow through, then there's eventually going to be gaps between what we say and what we do. There's going to be holes there. And that is where, now here's the exciting part. See, it's getting better. That is where the Church of Jesus Christ has an opportunity to create something. And we have an opportunity to influence our culture and to fill in some of those gaps because in our culture here, a group of people that commits and acts stands out from a crowd. We stand out and we're noticed and we get noticed in Quebec culture if we are committed. and if we take action. So let me give you a story, and I'm going to explain it to you. So last year, some of you were here, some of you weren't. Some of you have heard this story, some of you didn't. But last year in August 2016, there was a new game released, and it was called Pokemon Go. And it was this game you played on your phone, and you walked around, and blah, 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 and it's a whole thing. But all of a sudden, without any warning at all, we had hundreds and hundreds of people on our doorstep, like on our doorstep, right at the front doors, and they were in Cabot Square, and they were in front of the old Children's Hospital, and they were all there just playing this game, and they were there day and night for weeks. Hundreds of people standing right on our doorstep. And so we jumped into action, and we gave away water bottles, and we gave away granola bars, and we dragged extension cords outside so that people could plug in their phones for charging stations. And then we painted our windows like all the way up to tell people that we were serving them, and that if they were Pokemon players, we would serve them, and we would take action and love them. And over again, in the middle of this thing that we were doing, over and over again, people would come to our table, and they would kind of come up with this weird look, and we'd say, would you like a water, or would you like a granola bar, or do you want to plug in? And they go, it's free? And we go, yeah. And they go, from who? And we said, well, from the church. And they said, why? And we said, well, because Jesus said to love our neighbors, and suddenly we have a lot of neighbors. And they said, I never heard of a church like that. And then, you know, the word started to spread of what we were doing. And so if you were here, you know that CJAD called us up and interviewed me. And the interview got played 3 times. And CBC interviewed us. And other media, we were on front pages of places and all of this stuff. And over again, they kept saying to us, why are you doing this? And we said, because Jesus said to love our neighbors. And we suddenly have a lot of neighbors. And they said, but really, why? Why? What's the real reason? And we said, it's part of our faith to take action, to love our neighbors. We're just walking out our faith. And you know what they said? Never heard of a church like that. Okay. People weren't used to a church that jumps into action. They weren't used to a church that served them and took action with more than just, you know, preaching at them or telling them what to do, just serving them. People had never seen Christians who were so committed to their faith that they would come and they would sacrifice their time and they would sacrifice their energy and some of them their money in order to come and serve their neighbors. They had never seen Christians that did that, that were so committed that they would come and serve their neighbors, no questions asked. And suddenly, people were watching us because a group of people that commits and acts stands out in this crowd. Let me tell you one other story. This is a story that most of you haven't heard, and it happened to me last Sunday, and I think for once, I think I got it right. So yay, okay? So last Sunday, just 7 days ago, I got here at the church just after 7 a.m., like I usually do, and I prayed with the worship team and walked around the sanctuary and prayed for a bit and checked different details with different people. Do we have the sound right for this? And are the visuals right for that? And all of the things that I do. And then I sat down and I went over my notes for what I was going to talk about last Sunday. And then at 9:30 was the first service, and so I was right there in the front row, and I was worshiping, and then I spoke, and then I talked to some people in between, and then the second service was at 11:15, and I worshiped, and I spoke, and what I did was, after the second service was done, I knew I needed a break, because last Sunday was the annual members meeting, and that was going to be at 2 o'clock, and that was going to be another boatload of work. And so I wanted to make sure that my head was in the right space for that. So after the second service, what I did was, a couple of you managed to catch me, but I moved out pretty quick through the back door, and I had this quiet plan, and I thought, okay, I'm just gonna whip across the street, and I'm gonna go to Subway, and I'm gonna get a little sandwich there, and I'm not gonna see anybody, I'm not gonna have to talk to anybody, I'll just grab a sandwich, and I'll grab a coffee, and I'll go back into my office, and I'll sit there quietly, and you know, get my head in the game for the annual members meeting. That's what I need to do. So that was my plan. So I snuck out here, went down the alley and across the street, and I went into Subway, and there was a line. But that's okay. It's no problem. I got lots of time, and there's nobody that I know in there and all that. And so there's only one guy behind the counter, and he's doing a really great job. And so here's the counter, and here's me, and there's a bunch of people lined up in front of me, and the one guy behind the counter, and he looks up as he's serving them, and as he looks up, he makes eye contact with me and clearly recognizes me. Because I go in there sometimes. And so I don't know if he knows that I'm from the church. I don't know that. But he knows that he knows me. And so he smiles, goes, "Hey, how are you doing?" I go, "Good. You know, how are you?" And blah, blah, blah. "Don't you wish you had more staff," etc. And so he serves all the people in front. And then he's starting to get to me. And meanwhile, there's one guy who's in line behind me. And he's just another guy. And he's casual. He's pretty down to earth. Maybe a little bit gritty, non-polished. Which is fine. I really like gritty people, actually. And so he's chatting away to me. And so now all these other people, they've moved on. They've been served, and they're either sitting down or they're gone. And so now it's the guy behind the counter and me and this guy here. And we're just chatting. And the guy's making my sandwich and, you know, "Do you want olives?" and all of that kind of stuff. And we talk about the weather. We talk about how hot it is and, you know, basic life and all of that. And I got my sandwich and I paid and I left. And so remember, my plan is, I'm in a hurry, right? Because I have godly things to do. I have an annual meeting to run. And so I just need to get a coffee, and I'm going to take my coffee and my sandwich. I'm going to come back across and sit in my office quietly to get my head in the right space for the annual members meeting. And so that's my plan. I just want to have a little break and not talk to anybody. And I'm on the sidewalk, and this young man stops me. And he said, he goes, "I need some help. Do you know where there's a shelter?" And I said, "Well, there's this shelter." And he goes, "No, that one's closed." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, man. I don't know where any other shelters are." And he said, "Well, do you have some money so that I can buy lunch?" And I said, "No, because I didn't. I don't carry cash generally." And I said, "No, I'm really sorry. I can't help." And so we talked back and forth. And I said, "Listen, I gotta go. Like, I'm in a hurry." And he said, "Okay." And I started walking away and went towards to get my coffee and go back into my office so I could be godly. Anyone ever had a little voice go off in your head? Little voice in my head. So I turned around and went back to the young man on the sidewalk, and I said, you just want a sandwich? And he said, "Yeah, I'm really hungry." I said, "Okay, come back with me. Come back into Subway, and I'll buy your lunch." And he said, "Oh, okay, that would be great." So I go, "Okay." So we walk back into Subway now. And it's only been a couple minutes. It took me longer to tell you than it took for it to happen. It's only been a very short time. And so I walk back in, and the guy behind the counter, you know, he's still there, and he's still serving the guy who had been in line behind me, you know, the gritty, non-polished, regular guy. And I walk back in, and they both kind of look at me, and I kind of laughed, and I go, "Oh, I'm back." And then they look at the guy who's walking in behind me, and they're kind of looking at him and looking at me and looking at him and looking at, and they're kind of, and I said, "Oh, this is my friend. I just met him, and he's going to order lunch, and I just want to cover the cost if I can do that." And they both smiled, and they both nodded, and they thought that was a wonderful thing. And so we chatted for a little bit, and I chatted with the young guy. We found out his name and where he was from and a little bit of his story. And the guy, and then I said to the guy behind the counter, I said, "I gotta go." You know, I said, can I just pay? And my friend here, he'll order, finish ordering or whatever, and then he'll eat, but can I just pay and leave?" And he said, "Sure, that would be fine." And so I paid, and then I went to leave. And just before I walked out the door, ready? Just before I walked out the door, this guy who had been behind me in line, the guy who had been there while I got my sandwich, the guy who had been there when I walked out and then saw me come back in and then saw that I was paying for somebody's lunch and just saw the whole thing, that guy pipes up just before I walk out the door, and he says with a big smile for everyone to hear, "It was a great service today, Pastor." Oh, thank you, Jesus, for helping me to hear your voice. And thank you, Jesus, for helping me to take action when I needed to. Listen, the whole world's watching. Montreal is watching. And they're not just watching me. They're watching you. And they're wanting to see if we're different. They want to know if we're really committed. They want to know if we're the same as everybody else, non-committal, more talk than action, talking a big game but not really walking it out. They want to see, are we like that? Are we like everybody else? Or are we different? Is there something different about us? And Quebec's culture is very non-committal, and it's more talk than action, but there is a gap there, and we can fill it if we want to. We can create culture, we can influence it, and we can help fill some of the holes to bless our province and to show them who Jesus is. I mean, just imagine if we as Christians, or if us together as evangel, imagine if this church was known as people who stand out from culture because we are people of action and commitment. And imagine if this church was known as people who give generously, who give so generously that it makes the people that do our tax returns go, "What on earth are you all about?" Imagine if Montreal looked at us, if they looked at followers of Jesus like us, or they looked at our church, they looked at Evangel, and we stood out from the culture because we are people who support families and who don't just talk it, but actually do it and have programs and opportunities and connection points for kids and help for marriages and support for single parents and support for women who are in crisis pregnancies or people who find themselves in abusive relationships. Imagine if we were known for that. Imagine if we were known for being a church that acts to support and to care for newcomers to Canada, whether it's through language or through cultural integration or through advocacy or help with the bureaucracy. Imagine if we were known as people who help and people who care and people who pray and people who can be counted on to carry Jesus into our world. Imagine if people in Montreal said, when the going gets tough, Evangel shows up. Imagine if that was our reputation. Imagine. Of course, in order for Evangel to be known for that level of commitment, each one of us has to have that level of commitment. Because we are not separate from the church. It's not a separate entity. We are the church. You are the church. I am the church. And so it's our commitment together that creates our commitment together. And the world is watching us. Montrealers are noticing if we're walking out what we say we believe, or if we're just non-committal, more talk than action, same as everybody else. So I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads at this moment. And I'm going to talk for a minute, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you a chance to respond in prayer. And I ask you to bow your heads because it gives a little bit of a private moment, a little bit of an individual moment that matters. Just let me talk a little bit, okay? Holy Spirit, come and help us to hear your voice at this moment. Some of us here have some repenting to do. Because we've been talking, but there's some places where we haven't been acting. And the Holy Spirit is nudging you inside and just kind of pointing out some area of commitment and saying, you know, it's time to step up. It's time to walk out what you say you believe. This is your chance to change. This is your chance to step outside what feels comfortable, and to do whatever needs to be done. Commit, sacrifice, adapt to the world around. Do whatever needs to be done to help somebody meet Jesus. Some of us need to repent and change. And some of us have some dreaming to do. Because the Holy Spirit is nudging you inside. And you're realizing that there are opportunities that God is placing right in front of you. And they might be opportunities at work or at home or maybe here at the church, because this is your church and you are this church. And you've just realized maybe there's a place for you to be part of everything we're doing, all of us together, working together to help meet Jesus. So some of you are dreaming about some possibilities right now. And then some of us, can I just say, you know, on that snapshot Sunday when we took that survey last April, 21% of you that were here said that you weren't sure yet if you were fully in as far as being a follower of Jesus. And that excites me. I like being the kind of place where people can be while they're figuring it out. But some of you, a few of you who are part of that 21%, today you're ready to make that decision. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and saying, choose. Follow Jesus. It's all in. And maybe you're ready to make that decision and to say it publicly, to maybe be baptized in water at our next fifth Sunday, but to say out loud, I have decided to follow Jesus. Take a moment, just quietly in this space we're in, everyone's head is bowed, and just take a few moments to talk to God about all of that. God, I hear you talking to me. I hear you nudging me. God, help us not to just say, oh, that's not God. Silence all the other voices and help us to hear only you right in this moment. Help us to hear you. And as God just starts nudging you in one area or another, just respond and whisper a prayer back. God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to change in this area. I'm going to jump in and try something over here. Make the commitment. Now, God, at this moment, you know, different ones of us were really just in a place of, whew, just looking inside and going, huh. And you're calling us to something deeper, calling us to something bigger, calling for more from some of us. And we're choosing to respond as we do today. And so, Lord, I pray your covering and your blessing over each one of us, that you would help us to hear you, not just now, but all the time. You help us to walk out of here genuinely changed. Would you make us a church, God, that is known for when the going gets tough? We show up, and we're there, and we're acting, and we're committed, and we're making a difference. I'm asking you, God, to not only impact our lives individually, but impact our church. Make us who you've called us to be. Help us to create culture and to show the world that we're in a different way, a committed, more action than talk way. Help us to do that, oh God, in Jesus' name. Now here's what I want to do. I'm going to end really weird this morning. I'm going to ask if each of you would stand at this moment. And you know, we used to just stand up. And, you know, there's times when we say, you know, if you want to receive prayer or you want to, then you come to the front. And if you want to do that today, then you can. But here's what I really want from you, because we serve a God who's not just spiritual, but holistic, the whole thing. You ready? Some of you this morning, and even in just that prayer you prayed, some of you have decided, I need to jump in. I need to do something. There's something more that God is going to ask me to do, and I don't know where it is. I do. I know where. So a week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving Monday. And on Thanksgiving Monday, this church right here is serving dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, full course Thanksgiving dinner to hundreds of people in our community, just like we do every Thanksgiving Monday. Why? It's what we do. It's us walking out our faith. And we need help. And we need help from people that can help beforehand. We need help from people that can help that day. And we sure need people that will help clean up afterwards. And so if you can help before, during, or after next Monday, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to close in prayer, and the second after I say amen, I'm going to ask you to come right down here and meet with Nick for a 10-minute meeting, 15 max. And he's going to just grab all the people that are going to volunteer, and he's going to organize you so that you know what's happening and what it is you want to do. Okay, turn to the person beside you and say, I'll go if you will. Just go ahead, tell them, I'll go if you will. Okay? One of you just politely turned to the empty space beside you and said that. I just love that. Okay? As soon as I say amen, you come to the front because we need help. So God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you that we get to actually worship and honor you and be together, and we get to laugh and we get to think and we get to really evaluate and listen to you. And so Lord, now we're at the end of our service and we're going to walk out of here, every single one of us. And it's up to us to carry Jesus well to our world, to our schools and our families and our workplaces and our friends and our neighborhoods. And so God, we're asking that you would help every single one of us this morning as we walk out those doors. Would you help us to do good and help us to love each other and help us to reveal Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. Cover over each one of us. Bring us back this afternoon at 4:00 for our worship night and next Sunday. And we ask God that you would cover us and bless each one. Help us to honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Come straight to the front. Help us out with Thanksgiving. We'll see you at 4:00 this afternoon for our worship night or next Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a great week.